Well, welcome everybody to another Nexus webinar. I'm your host, Andrew Estes, and I'm so glad that you're joining us today. At Nexus, we are committed to equipping church planters and leaders with effective and practical tools to help you lead with clarity, build healthy teams, and effectively reach your community. And today, we're really talking about the value of your brand and why branding is not just about fancy logos or colors. It's really about just truly building trust, clarity of mission, and connecting with those around you. And our guest today is Alex Holt, co-owner and creative director of CRTR Studio, a brand design agency that works with creators, churches, and nonprofits to help them communicate their mission more effectively, including us here at Nexus. We hired Alex a little while ago to do some training with some of our social media team and communications. And Alex brings over a decade of experience in brand strategy, visual storytelling, creative leadership, and we'll get into all of that. He's also a husband, a father of two, and per his bio, a huge Disney Parks fan. So there's that. Alex, dude, so thankful for you joining us today, man.
Yeah, for sure, Andrew. Thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to talk. This is one of my favorite things to talk about outside of Disney Parks, obviously.
Outside of Disney Park. Yeah. So are we scheduling like an Abu Dhabi trip? I heard there's like a new Disney Abu Dhabi.
It's definitely on the list. Our daughter is constantly asking when we're going to go to Disneyland Paris so she can see Arendelle.
Oh, there we go. There you go.
So we're big Disney Parks people. We love to go. We just got back from there this summer and we're headed back at Christmas. So
that's fantastic. Same one? Do you always go to the same one or have you been to several?
We have been most to Disney World down in Florida. We were supposed to go to Disneyland this summer and then at the last second changed that trip with some friends to go to Disney World. But we're hoping to get to California soon with our kids. And then we would love to hit some of the international parks and just see what Disney's like on the other side of the world.
That's awesome, man. Well, hey, I'd love to just kind of dive into your story of just kind of going back. I know that you've served in ministry and different things, but I know you're joining us from the great state of Indiana. But if you would, just kind of give us a flyover of some of your church ministry, like design background, all that type of stuff. What has led you to CRTR Studio today?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Andrew said, I've got a wife, two kiddos. I've been married for almost 12 years and have spent the bulk of my career working in churches specifically. So mainly churches around the Indianapolis area and then a church in Southern Indiana for a while. And most of my time in that space has really been in the marketing, communications, and brand development space. And so I've gotten to really help in those churches, how do we communicate the story of Jesus and also the story of our unique context of the local church to the community that we're serving? How do we communicate that as clearly and effectively as possible? And so I've done that as a marketing and communications director. I've done that in kind of a brand manager and creative director roles, and really just gotten to work with our internal teams on how do we tell that story of the Church of Jesus and invite our neighbors into our specific context of the local church. I've also gotten to work in the for-profit and nonprofit space. So I've been in the marketplace doing creative direction for an agency. I worked for a statewide nonprofit here in Indiana that interestingly enough does organ, tissue, and eye donation for the state of Indiana. Never a world I saw myself in, but they were building an in-house creative and marketing team. And so I came on board to help them and got to be the brand manager for two statewide brands and two national brand campaigns that we ran. So I've really spent a lot of time in this space of brand and understanding what brand truly is, why it matters, and really in the context of our conversation today, like why does it matter for churches? Because I think a lot of times there can be a negative connotation around what a brand is in the world of ministry. And so why does it matter in the context of ministry, in the context of the local church?
Yeah, dude, that's eye donation. Is that what I heard you say?
Yeah, organ, tissue, and eye donation. So there are essentially organizations in every state that are responsible for that process funded by the government and live in the world of healthcare. And I did some crazy things. I filmed organ recoveries for training purposes. I branded a racing campaign and branded a car that ran in the Indianapolis 500. And I designed the livery for an aviation company that we had that transported organs across the country. So a wow. very wild 3 years of my life at a really great organization.
Fascinating. Yeah, that's good. That is a really interesting tension that you just kind of brought up, that a lot of people, especially in like church ministry, that we're just, you just live in this tension of like, I think that when we think of branding and marketing and all of that type of stuff, there's a huge value that we see when it comes to marketplace organizations and even like some nonprofits and stuff like that, and why it's so important. I want to get into really just even starting out with like, what is some of that tension that we see in the local church? Just because oftentimes, and even here at like Nexus, we're very in depth in understanding like disciple making, like we're about disciples making disciples. And like some of this other stuff just seems a little tertiary, a little like just, if we have it, great. If not, whatever, it's not a big deal. But talk to us for a second about how do you define what a brand is? And why is that significant for the church? I know we'll kind of unpack that more in depth, but just at a high level, what is your definition of what a brand is and why is it important for the church?
Yeah, at the highest level, when we talk about brand, we're talking about the things that people think, feel, see, and hear when they encounter you. And when we say you, we mean you as an organization, you as a church. It's all of these things that come together, all of their senses combined, right? When they walk through the front door, when they pull onto your parking lot, the experiences they have with you in person and also in the digital space, those are the things that come together to really define your brand. And so brand goes far beyond just a logo. It is the experience, right? If you've ever been into an Apple store, you know that feeling of what it's like to walk into an Apple store, the crisp lighting, the minimal desks, the really, really clean technology setups. There's a feeling that's associated with that. And so brand is really about a feeling. It's about an experience that we're creating. And as I've worked in churches, the thing that I have always said has been, hey, brand should never be the number one thing that we are about. Reaching people for Jesus, discipleship, getting people connected in community, like those are the number one things that we need to be about as the expression of a local church. But we can use brand to help clearly communicate how we help people do that. We can use the ethos, the feeling, the environments, the digital assets and websites and tools that we create to help people really understand what it is we want for them and how they can get involved, how they can take their next step. And so it's really this like underlying bedrock foundational tool that we see that churches, ministries of any kind can use to help communicate the ultimate goal of helping lost people find Jesus.
Yeah, that's great, man. I think, one of the things that we've done in some branding training in the past, one of the things that was mentioned was, is your brand is not what you say it is. Your brand is what other people believe it is, or like believe about you. And I love some of that conversation, and in particular in the like how it makes you feel. Because we talk a lot about, just establishing culture. There's a whole, like a ton of teaching we do around like the vision frame of understanding mission, value, strategy, measures. And the way we talk about values is values aren't what you do. It's kind of what characterizes everything that you do. And it's what people feel. So like the brand is almost just the visual representation of the values that you hold as an organization. Would you kind of agree with some of that?
Yeah, 100%. We talk about when we work with our partners, we talk about values in the exact same way, that they're really the embodiment of what your brand, what you want your brand to represent. And I think to your point, that's why brand is such an art and a science, because it is this thing that we put a lot of intentionality into. They're these things that we craft really intentionally. But at the end of the day, we don't ultimately hold the control over how people view and engage with the brands that we create. It is in the hands of the people that we are creating these brands for. And so it's this like really crazy world of like, oh, we want our brand to represent this. And then we roll it out and the community that's engaging with it is like, that's not how we see it at all, right? We designed this beautiful logo that has all this representation, represents all these things that are about our mission. And someone will say, yeah, I just think it looks like a car wash or like whatever the case may be. And so we have to evaluate and we have to tweak and we have to get feedback. And so that's why brand is, I think, such a fun space for us to be in, because it is very subjective, right? We're going to craft intentionally, but it's a space where we get to try things and we get to help kind of tell a unique story and maybe help people see things in a different visual perspective than maybe they would have thought about it had they just listened to our values.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great, man. Well, I know that so Alex goes around quite a bit, like doing a lot of teaching and training, whether it's in the marketplace or ministry spaces around just the value of your brand. And so that's kind of the title, the topic of our webinar today. And so just going to kind of open it up, Alex, I know that you have like some teaching and slide deck stuff and just want to be able to empower you to go ahead and walk us through just some of the core pieces of what you typically teach on when you talk about the value of a brand in a church.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump into this. I'm going to bring up these slides here that we can go through together. So really today would love to go over some core things that we talk about when we're talking about the value of brand. And so we're going to talk about an understanding of brand. We kind of hinted at that. We talked about that a little bit. We'll do a deeper dive. Talk about why brand matters. We've got a fivefold strategy that we believe helps explain why brand matters and puts it in the context of mission rather than just something cool to look at. We'll talk about how our brands are not about us, that we are not the hero of our brand and a tool that we use from an organization. And we'll go through our brand development framework and how we kind of build brands. And then we'll talk about how to tell your brand's unique story. We've got three things we think will really help you tell your brand's unique story. And so a little bit just about our team. We're a small boutique agency in Indianapolis serving partners across the country. And so my wife and I co-own this business. After spending 5 years in a local church here in Indianapolis, just really felt like it was time. And through a bunch of just different transitions, felt like it was time to go ahead and move on to something new. And so God opened some doors and I left that organization in January of 2024 and started Creator Studio. So we say Creator Studio, and it's this idea behind the name CRTR that we bring components, but then we also work with a creator who gives us the vision, gives us all these artistic abilities to kind of fill in the gaps. So we're real cool. We don't use vowels in our name, but we pronounce it, we say it Creator Studio. So my wife and I co-own that. We've got a brand designer that works with us and then a project manager. So we're a small team. And we try to keep our team small so that we can really kind of move quickly and efficiently and work with partners of all different sizes in the work that we do. So talking about what is brand, right? We have this conversation. This is what we say. Your brand is what people think, feel, see, and hear when they encounter your brand. A couple of quotes that really kind of, I think, set the stage and understanding for that. Jeff Bezos, founder of Amazon, said very similar to what you said, Andrew, your brand is what people say about you when you're not in the room, right? It's the thing that they're talking about after they've left the gathering, the experience, the storefront, the moment. It's the things that they feel and they share with friends of like, oh, did you see that? That was incredible. Or like, that was a little sketchy when we left there. And the things that they talk about when you're not around, that is the essence of your brand. Another great quote from a guy who wrote a book called The Brand Gap. A brand is a person's gut feeling about a product, service, or organization. I don't know if the data is still true. It used to be when I worked in church world that there was data around the idea that you had roughly 7 seconds when a first-time guest walked in your front door for them to make a decision about whether or not they were going to come back to your church, whether they would even reconsider visiting your church again. And so it's that gut feeling, that very first thing that someone feels when they walk into our spaces, when they encounter our brand online, through our website, through a Facebook page, Instagram account, whatever it may be. It's that gut feeling that someone has about us. And so that's why we believe that there is a lot of value in putting time and energy into how we craft and build those brands. And so even with all of that context and understanding what a brand is, there's still the question of why does brand matter? Like, what does it do for our organization, for our church, for our ministry? And we believe there are five things that brand, a strong brand, really, really does. One, it creates unity around your belief. It creates like this central thing that we believe. A lot of organizations will call that their mission statement. We call those belief statements. But it's that thing that you feel called to do in your community, in your town, in your neighborhood, whether personally or as an organization. And it creates unity around that because it gets everyone saying the same thing and thinking the same thing and being aligned to the same mission and the same strategy. It creates vision around your direction, right? As an organization, we've got a direction that we want to go, that we feel called to go, and a really clear brand helps give vision around that direction. It doesn't feel like you're just dragging people aimlessly somewhere and you're going somewhere, but they don't know why they're going there. A clear brand gives vision to the direction that you're headed. It creates clarity around your story. One of the things we're going to talk about later on is this team test. And when you ask everyone on your team, hey, what is our brand? Who are we as an organization? If they all say different things, that means in the room that you're in together, they're all saying different things. And then when they're talking about your organization out in public, they're all saying different things. We think a really strong brand creates clarity around the story that you're telling, and then everyone in your organization is telling the same story. It creates alignment around your team. So it creates alignment to the things that you value, back to the values conversation. It creates alignment to the things you say yes to and the things you say no to, because you can run it through this filter of your brand and make sure that it all fits, it all checks, it all aligns with who you are, what you believe, the direction you're going, and the story you're telling. And then it creates momentum around your followers. Anytime you can provide clarity to the people who are following your brand, we say often that clarity creates kindness. It creates momentum because they want to engage, they're excited to engage, and they know how to engage, right? I think that can be a really big gap in our churches at times, and our ministries, is that we can tell people all the things that we have going on, but they may not always know how to engage. And so when we have a really clear brand, we can create momentum because we're telling people how to engage, how to get involved, how to take a next step, in a very clear and concise way, rather than a, hey, good luck going down this crazy road, and maybe you stop here and fill out this form, and maybe someone will contact you in 3 days. We want to create that momentum that creates energy for them, and helps them move forward.
Yeah, for sure. I think, even in some of that conversation, and I know you kind of get to this, through a lot of your training, a lot of your discovery work that you do with different people, but moving people beyond a generic sense of what they're called to do, of a generic sense of, you know, even in church ministry, there's like, we're just here to love God and love people, and like everything that we do is geared towards that. I was working, or even just having coffee like a day or two ago with a business leader, and one of the things that he was, I felt like he had like really crafted and clarified some of his stuff, but was like struggling with like trying to consider like, which projects do we take on as an organization? Well, we fit this project under like this value or whatever. And then I asked him the question, I was like, well, based on your vision, like what kind of projects do you very clearly say no to?
Yep.
You know, and he was just like, I've never thought of that before, but just trying to move people beyond just a generic sense of who they are to a very specific sense of, no, this is who we are in this time and place for this moment and this culture and this context with our leadership. And there's so much to unpack in that.
Yes. And I think another thing in that we'll talk about a little more in the end, but I think it's fitting to talk about right here, is that all of that can and should change as the context and the moment that you're in evolves and changes, right? If you have been doing local church ministry for 30 years and your mission and vision haven't changed in those 30 years, then it's very likely that you're not deeply in tune with what is happening in the cultural moment that your church is sitting in. And I think often it can be an overwhelming thing to think about transforming a brand, because it is, it's a big undertaking. And so when we talk with our partners, we talk about this kind of 2 to 4 year window where we say, hey, 2 to 4 years, you should be reevaluating both the visual identity side of your brand and kind of what we call your brand belief side, the mission, the vision. Most of the time that mission vision sticks around, that sticks typically will run through a couple of those 2 to 4 year evaluation cycles. But pretty often there will be changes in the visual identity side of how the brand is communicating. And a lot of that has to do with how culture is changing and how it consumes visual content, right? Styles are changing. We don't ever want to build brands on styles. We want to build brands that have longevity and can last. But it is also very behoove of us to pay attention to what's happening in culture and make sure that we are representing that in how we communicate with people, because that is how our congregations, the people attending our churches, the people serving in our ministries are engaging and communicating with content on their phone, on their computer, while they watch TV. And so that is, it is this thing, this tension, I think a lot of, I've seen specifically in ministries that they feel. Like, how often do we have those conversations of, is this still who we are? Is this still the direction we're going? And what are we saying no to in order to continue to go that direction?
Yeah. Yeah. That's good, man.
Yeah. All right. So let's get back into then, now that we kind of have an understanding of what is a brand and why does a brand matter? We want to talk about this idea that we are not the heroes of our brand's story. This is where so many organizations get so lost in developing their brand, because they put themselves as the hero in the story. And the thought process is natural and understandable. Like, we have come into this time, this place, this community, and we are here to essentially provide a solution to a problem. That's 100% accurate in most cases of why we're planting churches, why we're opening up spaces for our communities to connect. But we often frame ourselves as the hero in that story. And in reality, we need to frame ourselves in a different position. The people that we're serving are truly the hero of our story. And we are inviting ourselves into some of that story to help them solve their problem, not to be the hero who saves the day. And so we borrow a framework from a guy named Donald Miller. He's got an agency called Story Brand. They do really, really incredible work. We are not a full-blown Story Brand agency. There are agencies that are certified in that. That's just not who we are, but we do utilize this framework as we're having a conversation around who is the hero of your brand story. And so this is the basic elements of the framework. And I always tell people this, this framework, whether you hear it from us, whether you read it in Story Brand, it ruins every single movie that you're going to watch, because it gives you the plot line. If you didn't already know, this is how every Hollywood movie works, minus like one or two, and it's going to ruin it. And you're going to know exactly what's going to happen moving forward. So when you're sitting in your next movie watching it, you can say, oh, that Alex guy, he ruined this for me. And it's all right. I'm ready to accept that. I understand that. But the way the Story Brand framework works is it talks about this character, right? The character is this person in the story, and they have a problem. And in the context of ministry, of local church ministry, that problem can be a variety of different things. It can be, hey, I want my kids to know who Jesus is. It can be, I'm dealing with this existential crisis in my life. I'm addicted to drugs, alcohol. I have a wild problem. It can also be like, I just don't have a regular community that I'm a part of. The problems can vary drastically on a spectrum, but at the end of the day, the character has a problem, and that character meets a guide. And that guide is where we, as churches, as organizations, as the ones developing brands, that's where we come in to the story. The guide in these stories is this sage. They've got all the wisdom. They've got all the experience. They've kind of been down the road before. And they have all of these, this advice to be able to give. So the character meets the guide, and that guide gives them a plan. And as churches, as ministries, our goal is that we want to invite people into discipleship pathways, into relationships, into community and spaces. And those are the plans that we are giving them to help them move out of that problem. So the guide gives them a plan. That plan calls them to action. It says, hey, here's a step that you need to take. Here's the thing that you need to do. And then the goal at this inflection point is that that plan helps them end in success, right? They step out of that problem, they step into something new, and it helps them ultimately avoid failure, right? We don't want them to end up in failure, but that does happen from time to time. And so we have to understand as brands that we are not the hero of our story. Our character is our hero, and we are the guide that helps them. And so we need to get a really, really clear understanding of who is that hero, who is that person that we are serving in our community. If you've ever been involved in brand work in the space of church, that can often be like our ideal hero persona or user persona. You essentially are creating this person that has attributes associated with them. Where do they work? How are they involved in their community? What does their family life look like? The idea is to really get a clear understanding of who it is that we want to serve, and then understanding how do we craft plans, calls to action to help them move out of the problem and the pain that they're feeling. And I think one of the interesting things is that this can be another tension point in churches of, well, we want to serve everyone in our community. And I think the cliche that we hear often is very true. Like if we're serving everyone, we're not really serving anyone because we're not getting specific enough to address the pain or the problem that our hero is facing. And so when we work with churches, we typically end up developing between 4 and 6 personas that they're using as we're crafting that brand. And so there's typically a primary persona or two. And that is the person they feel most called and equipped to reach. It is the dominant personality or persona in their community. And so we kind of focus our effort on those. And then we map out and understand how do all these other personas fit into these concentric rings and into these spheres of influence that our primary personas have, right? If it's a husband of a family, they've got this sphere of influence of their spouse, their kids, the coworkers that they have that they can essentially begin to reach as we are reaching them and helping them solve the pain that they're having. They then in turn can become the guide who helps those in their sphere of influence move through their problem, get to a call to action, and end in success. And so it's an interesting tension in that space in churches in particular, but it's one that we have really encouraged and pressed into. Hey, the more clarity that we can provide in that brand, again, the better it's going to be for the people engaging with our brand. They know who we are, what we're about, what we value, and how we can help them and those around them move out of their problems, move out of their pain, and move into a preferred future.
Yeah. So you said 4 to 6 different kind of personas that you'll help a church just kind of identify.
Yep.
When you're just out of curiosity, I mean, just like as you're walking them from character through this is kind of like assimilation funnel type of stuff with churches, but then also yep. like discipleship kind of tied to that. When you get to that kind of ends in success, what does that typically look like? Does that look like 4 to 6 personas just kind of coming down to one ideal, like successful kind of outcome, or how does that
yeah. look? Yeah, it really depends on the church and the organization, right? If we've got 4 to 6 personas for, let's say it's a church and their primary persona is the dad of a family who is loosely engaged, but not really connected. He attends just because his wife really wants him to go to church. And he does think like, yeah, it's a good thing for our kids to go. The ends in success for him, the first ends in success may look like he just attends regularly 3 out of the 4 weekends a month. That may be that first step of ends in success. And then there's going to be another journey for him because his character arc doesn't just end at, okay, now I attend. His next character arc may look like, okay, now the problem is I'm attending regularly, but I'm still feeling like empty. I'm still feeling that lack of community. And so we go through that journey with him again, and that ends in success. May look like he joins a discipleship group, a small group, some kind of a regular community outside of a Sunday gathering. And so it really can just be this cycle that continues over and over, right? There's never, in our faith with Jesus, there's never really an end point. And in our character's journey and how we develop those personas, there's never really a, this is the end all be all. This is the last thing we ever need to do for them. We could map those story brand frameworks out indefinitely for what we want their journey to look like, just like we could a discipleship pathway. And so sometimes they do collide at the same point, right? Our primary, and then maybe like our third or fourth persona, maybe a teenager who is gotten involved in student ministry. And their next step is just attending youth, like attending youth programming 3 out of the 4 weekends a month. So very similar ends in success, but then they've probably got another or a different kind of character arc in that next layer of what success looks like. And so it really just kind of depends on the organization, what they're wanting for their congregation specifically and how detailed they want to go versus, hey, we really just want to like emphasize, we want to land on success looks like someone taking a next step. And that's where it gets scattered out into what a variety of different next steps could be.
Yeah, that's interesting. Because a lot of, in just very practical deliverables that you're doing for churches. I mean, so you're doing like some of the creative aspect of logo design, branding and things of that nature, websites and all that type of stuff. But when you walk through a framework like this, like you're almost looking at organizational like restructuring and just like church, like really shifting their strategy around like, what is, well, based on like who we're engaging with and what we want them to ultimately become. Like that should really just restructure everything that we do to move towards that kind of a vision. Like, are you going that deep with churches or organizations?
There are churches that we have, and those have been the one-offs, and that's really born out of my experience in working in a variety of different church operating systems over the last 10 plus years, and seeing a bunch of different models at play. That's typically where we love to like, hey, let's bring in someone who is more of an expert in that space, or we recommend them to an organization who specializes in some of that like church strategy side of things. We feel like we're really equipped in the brand side, and all of us that work on our team have all worked in local church. So we've got kind of like an extra deep understanding of like church organization and how brand can really shift alignment inside of staffing, inside of culture. So we feel equipped to handle some of that. But depending on how far a church wants to go with that, we may recommend them to bring in another partner in another organization that could really help them take that to the next level. Because that's just not, we could do that. That's not the thing that we feel the most gifted and expert in. We really want our brand, the Creator Studio brand, to be about building brands for creators who change the world. And so we want to bring the creative side of that and really help them find someone who can help them execute the strategy that they're looking to execute.
Yeah, for sure. No, but I mean, I love the story brand framework. We had a guy before we ended up working with you, like a year or two ago, we ended up working with a story brand certified guide to help us here at Nexus, just to gain a lot of clarity, helped us restructure like our whole website and like do some print pieces and just walked us through all of this understanding. And we had 2 or 3 different personas as we engage with, you know, church planters, network leaders, potential like fundraising partners and all those different things. And they each walk a separate journey as we're understanding that. But just to be able to get to that point of clarifying your message towards those different audiences was phenomenal. And I think it's a really good like kind of paradigm shifting exercise to really just be like, oh, if this is where we're going, like, is what we're doing actually going to get people there or not?
Yeah. And I would say yes, 100%. We love the resources that StoryBrand puts out. And if you've never engaged with their content, I would tell you, go buy Building a Story Brand by Donald Miller. It's an incredible read. Even as a lead pastor, like I've worked with several lead pastors and said, hey, I think you need to read this to understand the value of brand. We're not a certified story brand agency. And the biggest reason for that isn't because we don't fully believe in it. It's because on the marketplace side, we have just found some gaps in with our marketplace clients. And so we leverage the elements of it that are available, but we've not gone full bore. We're a story brand certified just because of those things that we've seen where for some of our marketplace clients, the conclusion of it doesn't work as well as some other things that we've tried. But it's incredible resources. They have amazing free resources on their website. The book is incredible. And it is definitely, if you've not read it, it's definitely worth a read just to get an understanding of the space of brand and kind of all of this that we've been talking about.
Yeah. Super fascinating. Hero's journey, man. It's good stuff.
Yep. Yep. So then let's wrap this up with just an understanding of, okay, so we now understand what brand is, why brand matters, that we're not the center of our brand. So how do we as Creator Studio, how do we help our partners really dive in and understand and create a brand that answers the pain that their audience is feeling? And so as an organization, we say we create brands for creators who change the world. We love to partner with visionary leaders who have this conviction inside of them that there is a better way for something to be done. Whether that is that there is the need for a local church in a community, right? There is a new widget and a new product that they can make, and they're making that product not out of a desire to make money, but out of a desire to serve people and help people have a better life, to remove the pain in their life, whatever it is. We really want to partner with visionary leaders and help them create brands that change the world, because we really do believe that an effective brand, again, because of what we believe brand is, can change the world. And we say it like this: we create brands, not just logos or taglines, but platforms for transformation. Again, that's that idea that your brand is kind of this like understructure of your whole organization. And when that thing's not stable, and when you don't have clarity, and when everything isn't put together, it's really hard to build something that can change the world on top of that. Because you start to find all these holes and these gaps, and everything can very quickly fall apart when you don't have that support structure built. And we want to be really clear that brands are not just logos and taglines. Those are part of it. Those are visual identity systems. We specialize in those. But there's so much more to a brand than just those things. As an organization, we really want to see creators use the power of brand expressed through art and design to solve problems and change the world for good, right? That's why we love visionary leaders, because they typically want to go after and fix something for good. In the world of ministry, they want to bring the hope of Jesus into local communities. In the world of business, they really want to help people, again, design something new, create something new, and making money can be a part of that. And that's awesome. But it's really this heart of we want to do something to better our community and make the world a better place for all of us. And when we build brands, we really want to build brands that elevate culture, inspire change, and support good. Every brand that we build embodies those three things. We want them to lift up the culture that they're a part of. So if we're creating a brand for a restaurant, we want that brand to elevate the restaurant game entirely. We want it to change how restaurants view brand. We want it to inspire change. We want it to excite people, right? If we're doing let's keep our restaurant thing going. If we're doing a restaurant brand, we want it to inspire people to change how they eat, to change how they experience food. And we want it to support good. We want that brand in some way, shape, or form to give back to the community. And so we kind of evaluate our partnerships and say, hey, we're going to build a brand that's going to do these three things. Are you committed to that? Are you committed to that being the kind of brand that you live? And we will say yes or no based on those three things. And so when we talk about elevating culture, we talk about a brand being built for impact doesn't reflect culture, but it raises it. When we talk about inspiring change, we talk about a brand being built for impact leads the way to progress. And when we talk about supporting good, we're talking about a brand that's built for impact transforms communities. We want every brand that we partner with to do those three things. And if it's not going to do those three things, we'll say, hey, this isn't the best partnership for us. We want to be really clear about the things we value and the things that are important to us in building brands that make our community a better place. And to do that, we have designed an array of services that are really for visionary leaders. They are services that are designed to speak to the lead pastor, to the CEO, just as much they are the marketing director or creative director. And so we really package everything we do into three phases: in belief, in identity, and activation. Belief is where we help our partners and our organizations put language and strategy to who they are and how they want to change the world. That's where we'll do researching, naming, brand strategy. We write all the language to help support your brand. So your belief, your vision, your what we call a rally cry, your values. We really kind of take all the elements of the spoken side of your brand and bring that to life before we ever get into the identity component. Identity is where we create brand identity systems that express the belief of your brand. And so that's where we do our visual identity, brand guidelines, logos, colors, fonts, the things that people traditionally think of around brand. And so we help craft all of that. And then in the world of activation, that's where we help take your brand and we help share it with the world around you. We do that through creative assets, brand collateral, websites. So that's print pieces, that's digital, that's social media presence. That's all the ways that your brand visually now gets expressed through this new visual identity system and this belief system that you have. So with all of that, how do you tell your brand story, right? Every brand has a unique story. And the question is, how do you tell your story? And we got three really practical things that we love to leave organizations with that will help you take a step in telling your brand's unique story. The first thing is to clarify your why. This is where we talked about that team test. If your team can't tell the same story about your brand, your audience can't either. And so start there. If you want to know, hey, how strong is our brand? Ask your team in individual one-off settings, hey, tell me who we are. Tell me what is it that we do. And if you get seven different answers from seven different people, you might have a clarity problem around your why and your brand. We tell people to know their hero. Your hero isn't just an imaginary persona, even though that's how we build them. They're a real customer that you can know intimately. So we may build a hero, and it may be, we may name our hero Bill, and Bill has all these attributes about him, but Bill represents a real person in your ministry, in your congregation, that you can actually have a conversation with and get feedback from and get understanding from and spend relational time with to understand, like, what is it that Bill's actually walking through, the real life Bill is walking through, and how can we support him in that? And then the last part, we talked a little bit about it earlier, is this idea of create, test, and repeat. It's not enough to build a brand and never change it. You want to keep refining and rewriting that story to create layered clarity, right? So there's going to be new iterations of how you tell your brand story. There's going to be new campaigns that you do in your ministry. There's going to be new ways that you're layering in the components of your brand. And you want to run those, and then you want to test them. You want to get feedback, and then you want to do that cycle over and over again. You want to create new things, you want to test them, and you want to get feedback and tweak them, iterate on them, make them better, to help create a more clear story. We love to end with this. You're competing with Nike, so your brand can't suck. And that's a strong statement. And when I first told one of the teams I led in the church space, like, hey, we're competing with Nike for people's attention, they were like, "That's Nike is not a church. That's not at all the same." But what it's really getting at is this essence of when someone is scrolling on their phone, you're competing for the brand space and attention of that user. And so how do you have an engaging message that's going to compete with the ads that they're getting, the messages that they're getting, the neighborhood watch thing that they're getting in their Facebook group that's blowing up? We had at the last church that I worked at, we kind of had a goal set aside of the average user. We did all this research on how long users spent on social media every day. It was about 20 to 30 minutes, depending on platform. And we made it our goal that we wanted to claim 1 minute of every person's day on social media that was scrolling in our church. And so how do we create content that is engaging and captivating and kind of stops them in their tracks for 1 minute so that they didn't just see it, like it, scroll past and never really impacts their day? But how do we create content that impacts their day for 1 minute, hoping that 1 minute can really inspire them, move them, motivate them, challenge them, whatever it was we were trying to do with that day's content. So I'll leave this here. If you want to learn more about us, about who we are, we've got a free resource. You can scan that QR code. If you're watching this, grab your phone. You can scan that. It'll take you to a free download on our website, all about creating a purpose-driven brand. You can also explore our website, crtrstudio.com. You can reach out, connect with me directly. We would love to hop on a call and just have a conversation around brand. If that's something that you're interested in, you want to ask more questions, learn more about our process, we would love to do that. There is no cost to jump on a call with us and ask questions. We love to get to meet folks across the country who are doing really incredible work and help them talk about brand and see how shaping a brand can really make an impact in your ministry.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. I appreciate just, you know, just even there at the end of just really, if you don't really understand your why, and the way that we would talk about that is just the vision of your church. We walk through a ton of training around for our church planters around the vision frame of clarifying mission and values and discipleship strategies, discipleship outcomes, and the vision direction, like where are you going in the next X amount of years? Like what's most important right now? Like you mentioned, like Lencioni's rally cry type of stuff of like, what are those wildly important goals, those types of things that you're moving towards. And just having the foundational understanding, because, and you mentioned this before, when so many people are just telling different stories about who you are, even amongst the leadership team, whether they're volunteers or paid staff, like that can be just a sideways momentum or sideways energy that you don't want as a leader. And to be able to truly clarify who we are, what are we doing, when we're successful, like knowing that everyone on your team is speaking the same language, even before that visual representation of it, you know, just being able to like clarify that is just so vitally important.
Yes, real life example. I worked at a sizable church here in Indianapolis. And we were just getting a bunch of sideways energy from different ministries about what they were expecting out of us as a team and what we were communicating on behalf of the organization. And so I had the opportunity to regularly meet with our executive team. And I sat down with our executive team one day and said, hey, I just want to ask you guys a question. What is it that we do as an organization, and how internally is our team supporting that mission? My team being the marketing and communications team at the time. 6-7 executives around the table, every single one of them gave me a different answer. And as I looked at who they were, what areas of ministry they were leading, I could very quickly start to attribute, oh, that's your thought. That's what you've been communicating to the teams that you're leading. And so that's why those teams are coming to us with a certain set of expectations, and these teams are coming to us with a different set of expectations. So beyond the public communication, even the internal understanding of how we operate, who we are as an organization, who we are as a team, brand bleeds into all of that, because none of that was being filtered through our mission and our vision. It was all just individual expectations of what our team was supposed to deliver. And it was different for everyone. And so there was all this tension of like my team not delivering on behalf of the organization. And it was like, actually, we're doing exactly what's in line with the vision. Everyone else had different expectations. And so it was a great moment. We were able to clarify that, bring all these teams together, kind of set clarity for where we were headed and how we supported the organization. But that's even a case of inside, when brand isn't clear, how it can manifest into unclear expectations for how teams are supposed to show up and deliver.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man. I know for a lot of our audience, or a lot of our church planters, like smaller teams, smaller congregations, like smaller contexts, and a lot of this type of stuff feels like a pretty heavy lift, you know, when you're talking about engaging on social media and, you know, having to post 3 times a day and all that. I mean, just there's just so much. And obviously AI is a phenomenal resource that we can use to like you know, accelerate a ton of that, and just you can get a lot of work done and a lot of social media like scheduled in just an hour worth of time. But when we're talking about volunteers, just engaging with a church team of just a smaller staff, what are some of those things that you would encourage smaller teams to do by way of just kind of a communications thing? Because a lot of, you know, I know the church that you served at is just a large church, lots of teams, lots of staff, a whole communications team, not just a communications director, but for those smaller contexts, how does that translate?
Yeah, I would say the two big things are set aside time to lay out your communications guidelines, no matter the size. Getting real clear and understanding what it is that you will and won't communicate, the kind of the rules, the playbook, if you will, of, hey, when we talk about things from the stage during a weekend gathering, these are the things that will make it to the stage, and these are the things that aren't. These are the things that could live if you do a newsletter. These are the things that could live in a newsletter, or these are the things that could go to social media. Having a highest level playbook of kind of the do's and don'ts of your church's communication policy. As a one-person team, once you kind of get approval on that from your leadership team, makes your job so much easier, because it gives you this thing to say, hey, person who's running this ministry, who's doing incredible things and is really passionate about, you know, whatever it is, if it's a knitting ministry, and there's nothing wrong with knitting ministries, I love them, but it may not be the number one thing on a Sunday. I mean, yeah, I love a good knitted blanket, right? Who doesn't? But it may not be the number one thing on a Sunday, but knowing, okay, I can tell that team, hey, that's not going to be a stage announcement, but it's going to slot into social media and in our newsletter in 2 weeks, right? It gives you a really quick response to that. So that's the number one thing I would say, is developing that simplified framework. That's something we help teams do. Just help develop, hey, here's kind of a framework of how we communicate what. The other thing I would say is, whatever you do, just do it consistently. That is kind of the key. So if your ability is, we can put out 2 social media posts a week, that's great. Just consistently do 2 social media posts. What you don't want to do is, you don't want to say, oh, I read this article and it said to grow our social audience, we need to post 4 times a day, and we need 6 reels, and we need. And you start doing that, and then you realize, like, I'm exhausted. I have no margin for this. And you slowly just start to trickle that away. And then all of a sudden you're not posting at all, and you haven't posted in 4 months. You create an expectation when you do that to your audience of, like, oh, this is how they're going to communicate and how I should engage. And then all of a sudden that starts to disappear. And it's really hard to build that engagement back when you have set a standard and then you slowly pull that away or change that. Same thing with an email newsletter. If a weekly newsletter is too much for you, do it monthly. I worked, like you mentioned, I worked at a huge church, had a whole team. And we made the decision that doing a weekly newsletter was too much. Like, it was overwhelming trying to gather that amount of content from multiple campuses, all the information. And so we just distilled it into a once a month newsletter to really make sure it was the best piece of communication rather than just a rushed piece of communication. And so understanding, like, finding what you're capable of doing and doing it consistently is the key thing. And then if you're able to add capacity over time, whether that's through a volunteer team, whether that's through partnering with an organization like ours or others who help manage that kind of communication, that's awesome. But the goal is just to be consistent in how you communicate, so that your audience, your congregation, builds an expectation, and then in turn builds trust that, oh, I know the newsletter is going to come out the third Thursday of the month. I can expect information there, and they're not getting it the first Thursday 1 month, and then another third, you know, the third Thursday this month, and they don't get it the next month because you are overcommitted and aren't able to get it out the door.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, Alex, so grateful for your time. I got one last question, and just a little side trail. But as we're considering, like, just the branding, the marketing, the just putting your name out there, if you were to just kind of give a high level view of planting a church from scratch and, like, getting ready to launch, I don't know, maybe in October of this year, Yep. Like what would kind of be your go-to? I mean, so you have your fancy logo and your cool website, all the different things, but what are you doing to like drive people towards engagement at the front end, like pre-launch, like nothing's going on yet. What would kind of be your advice or high level strategy for moving a brand new church to existence?
Yeah, that's good. I would pour all of my energy and effort into video content. And so whether that is leverage a ton of social media to do that would be number one. So talking head, hey, super excited about this. I just wanted to share this devotional thought, or hey, want to share this update with you. We recently hired this worship person, introduce them, right? Selfie style or like direct to camera. Doesn't have to be highly produced, doesn't have to be amazing quality. Video content moves on social media in ways that static content never will. It is what the algorithms prefer, and it's the best way to gain organic reach out of your content. The other component I would say is leverage your emails, leverage email lists. As a guy who's done marketing for a long time, building email communications is my least favorite thing in the entire world. It just is. But it is still the most effective communication tool that we have in our tool belts when we're communicating with large audiences. Open rates, engagement rates, even if people don't click on anything, like they're opening emails at a higher rate than they're viewing social media content, which is, it's just frustrating because it is really a tedious thing to build. And I wish email would like slowly die and we wouldn't have to use it anymore. It's not happening. People are still using it. So those are the two things that I would say is like leverage those two platforms, those two types of communication to really engage people. And in doing that, make sure your messaging is the same. Make sure your messaging is consistent. If you have a website, that's awesome. Drive people to that. That's great. If not, drive them to your social media. Drive them to the place that they can have presence and connection and see what's happening in the life of your church and the life of what's getting ready to launch this fall.
Yeah, that's fantastic, man. No, I'm reminded of a quote from Chris Abbott. We've had him kind of come in and do some training with us from Church Marketing University, but he kind of talked about how, like, if a missionary went into another country, like them not learning the language is like the equivalent of us today in the States, like not being willing to learn how to use social media well. Yep. And it's just like, if you were that missionary, like, that would be just crazy. Like, why would you go to a different country who speaks a different language and just try and do your thing? But that's some of the work that we have to put in as church leaders to be able to do some of that stuff. I know that's not entirely our topic for today, but just really just recognizing what are some of those practical outcomes of like having clarity around valuing, just knowing who we are, what we're doing, who our hero is, being able to, clarify our message and really just get people connected, not only to our church, but like you said, initially just getting them connected to the gospel.
And I would say too, really quick to that, if that's not you, if social media is not your thing, I understand that. Find someone in your launch team, in your core group who loves it. Find someone who says, hey, I'm happy to help do that. And give them, again, if you've got some communication guardrails, give them the guardrails and let them run. Let them kind of create and craft and build. Because I think the outcome is going to be far greater than just doing nothing or doing the bare minimum because that's all you have capacity for, which is understandable. Find someone who loves it and get them engaged because it's also a way for people to engage and maybe a serving opportunity that you never thought of, but it's a way for people to serve in your church in a way that they're gifted in and maybe they never want to be a greeter, but they would love to respond to DMs and questions that people have on social media.
Awesome. Well, Alex, dude, thanks so much for your time, man. It's such a great topic. So interesting and just grateful for who you are, everything that you got to get to do, everything that you've helped us with at Nexus. And anybody who's interested in learning more, Creator Studio, CRTRstudio.com. And would love for you guys to get further connected with Nexus. But dude, thanks for your time.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Andrew.
Absolutely. Thanks. Bye.